Hello. Good afternoon. Wojciech Fabiaraj, Alior Bank CEO, together with
Witam Skrok, CFO.
And Nils. Nils Lundorf. Hello, Nils.
Yes. Hello, everybody.
Okay. Nils is responsible for investor relationship. So I hope that you have the presentation that we published on our investor relationship pages last night, and I would like to briefly go through the presentation itself and explain the I would say the second largest event in Alior history in terms of mergers and acquisitions after the acquisition of HSBC portfolio in 2009, so some years before. As we mentioned earlier, every time every year between 2008 and nowadays, we were actively looking for investment opportunities in terms of mergers, acquisitions of the portfolios. But why? Because our IT and operational platform is simply built to service much more clients than the current 2.3 million. This time we found the, I think, great hit, Meritum Bank, which is very much consistent with all your strategy and targets, and I'm on page two now. The bank is very sophisticated, have a lot of IT advantages that I will refer later, operates in the market segment that are totally consistent with our strategy and targets. We believe that in the next 3 years, 2015-2017, we will achieve close to 200 million zloty of revenue and cost synergies. We will, as I mentioned earlier, we will utilize the Alior IT and operation platforms better. We'll increase our market shares and loan portfolios by 10%, which would allow us to achieve our published targets of 4% market share faster. Or we believe that through these acquisitions we can get to not to 4% of the market share at the end of 2016, but 4.3%. We believe that Meritum expertise and advanced IT systems, especially in consumer lending, can also be used in Alior on the larger scale. To be specific, Meritum was the first to introduce optical character recognition functionalities that can be used in our archiving, in our tablet-based solutions at the branches, and remote opening of clients' relationships, namely by scanning the client's ID, which makes the whole system faster. Meritum was the first to introduce the RWD formats in mobile and internet banking that we're going to use, and also they are the market leaders in dynamic demand-driven pricing. They can adjust the price of their products based on demand, based on the channel, not only channel, but the point of distribution, and based on even time of day. So these are the synergies and the leverages that we believe that can be used in all Alior structures. We believe that there are limited and contained risks given our track records in deal execution and post-merger integration. I'm not only referring to our pre-Alior days that we were involved in hundreds of small and big acquisitions, but also smooth execution of HSBC portfolio. It's all linked with our IT platforms that are based on a good middleware platform, which allows for smooth integration of products, services, portfolios, and banks. And last but not least, we believe we are in constant touch with the regulator, and we have all the belief that through close cooperation with KNF and other regulatory bodies, we expect very smooth regulatory process. Looking at page three, the financials, the transaction price is 360 million for the entire company, for the entire bank, which translates into 352 for the 98% of the company. No clawback provisions, and transaction will be financed through two sources. One is the capital increase, the issue of the new equity up to 2.3 million, and the remaining component will be the cash component. Looking at the multiples, price to book and price to price earning, Meritum is our expectation for 2014 based on the management forecast adjusted by in our due diligence process. The numbers look very, very promising, comparing with Alior and comparing with the market itself. Now on page four, just a short reminder, what is Meritum in numbers? 2.5 billion on loan and deposit side, 260 million equity, and the distribution network of 187 locations, and on the top of that, the large distribution through intermediaries. Innovative technological platforms, I mentioned earlier, strong consumer finance business, and establishing effective knowledge in of distribution of high-margin products, not only from Meritum, but also the staff and the people that are involved in Meritum. They were the pioneers in consumer finance business in Poland, working in GE in the past years. On page five, we looked at we are presenting here the Meritum Bank financial plan, which is based on the management forecast for Meritum, but reviewed thoroughly by us in due diligence process. And what is more important, it is based on the situation after the rate cuts were announced, and already we looked at the effects of repricing of the portfolio, that is the action that is taking taking place now at Meritum. We compare with the past performance from repricing in 2008. We compare with the results of repricing in Alior Bank, and we believe that although on this number on this page you see the numbers based on Polish accounting standards, we believe that translating these results into international accounting standards would reduce the entire net profit, but not by something between 10 and 15% at the most for this 3 years to come. On page six, we try to focus here on the three main components of synergies. The synergies here are divided into the three categories: total income, risk adjusted, and costs themselves. So, looking at the income side, the major sources of additional revenue would be from three main points. One is the using the dynamic demand-driven pricing in both Meritum and Alior consumer lending. Second, full utilization of Meritum potential. We believe that that Meritum could go faster. They have some capital constraints. They were constrained to with their growth. For instance, in exploring their cooperation with the Tesco Poland, here we can leverage the our capital base. And the third one, area of potential income related synergies, are linked with the access to Alior wider distribution network and our ability to get cheaper cost of deposit-based funding. Risk cost reduction in the second line, I think here is a very straightforward story. We really believe that we have the advantage on the market based on our collection systems, and we would like to, from day one on operational merger, we would like to apply our collection techniques, IT tools, capabilities to entire Meritum portfolio. The cost synergies obviously are related with the support functions at the headquarters, both in Alior and Meritum, with the reduction of some distribution channel synergies with cost in some support functions. However, we believe that we would like to maintain a very strong innovation focus. Therefore, we do not believe that the cost savings we would like to achieve, for instance, by reducing the IT staff. Quite contrary, we believe that from day one of after the merger, the Alior will have not one IT development center in Kraków, but two, one in Gdańsk and one in Kraków. On integration costs estimation, we believe that we can achieve with less than 50 million zloty, most of this in year one after receiving the regulatory approval. I think the whole merger process, if we do in our internal calculation, we believe that we can perform in less than 6 months. But to be more conservative, we believe that it's, the process will take up to 1 year after receiving the regulatory approvals. On page seven, we're trying to put in front of you the risks that are involved in transaction. One is the migration from Polish to international accounting standards, and the impact has been assessed by Ernst & Young at 20 million equity impact. Second is the migration to the rate cuts, but I've mentioned that earlier. We compared the data from 2008, and we've compared the action in Meritum with the action that we are ourselves taking in terms of repricing the clients from interest to fee-based products, and I think that the numbers are very realistic. A third one is the maintaining current and attracting new deposits from the clients in declining interest rate environment, where clients are looking more and more for alternative investments rather than keeping the money on a plain vanilla term deposits. So summarizing, before we take the questions, I think we are putting in front of you the deal that is based on 360 million investment, on which in the period of 3 years we are planning to gain net 150 million zloty from synergies, 200 million minus 50 million costs, on the top of that, the net profit that is summarized on page five reduced by something like 10 to 15% for the international accounting standards. So all in all, both return on investment and what's more, return on equity for this whole transaction looks extremely positive. And because we signed the deal only last night, we are planning to call in our General Assembly that is scheduled tomorrow. We will try to persuade the investors to postpone this point of the agenda for 10 days till the end of next week, so all the investors have time to analyze the numbers and make the proper decision, hopefully allowing us to finalize this transaction through equity raise and then the remaining component in cash from sub-debt issuance. Thank you very much.
Okay, operator, we are now ready to take the questions from the call participants.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. To remove any questions you have, please press star 2, and please ensure to unmute your phone locally. And the first question is from Jason Hurwitz of VTB Capital. Jason, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the call. I have a couple questions about the standalone Meritum Bank financial plan that you've provided on page 5. The net interest income grows quite a bit from 2014 to 2016, and at the same time, not much growth on fee income and not much growth on the provisions, which, you know, at least in terms of their being driven by the loan portfolio, would seem to go up more closely in line with net interest income. So considering this is a standalone financial plan, it's not based on your abilities to improve their risk management, for example. You know, how did you come up with such forecast? Because it obviously leads to a very generous net income growth, which would have perhaps impacted your valuation. Thanks.
This is explained by the Polish accounting standard and policy which Meritum applied, and in the line net interest income is also recognized what from the business standpoint is called it as a fee and commission. So fee and commission which the customer is charged is spread over the lifetime of the product and showed with the in the line net interest income.
I understand. So that, okay.
You see the very flat net fees and commission line, and in net interest income is both growth of the volume, but also all the fees and provisions, fees and commissions that are charged and spread throughout the duration of the product are hidden in the first line. As far as the provisions, I think that here that you don't see that dramatic growth. Is part of this is linked with the Polish accounting standard that is used for this page. And that's why we believe that these numbers should be reduced by 10 to 15%. Or rather, the provision should be increased by 10 to 15%, thus reducing the net income provided by the forecast provided by the management.
Just to be sure that, let's say, my explanation was understood. So the whole fee and commission, which are related with a loan, are shown in the net interest income. In other fee and commission products are shown in the net and fee and commission. So the whole business and income related to generated by the loan is shown in the net interest income line.
That part is clear. My bigger question then would be on the sort of difference in growth between net interest income and provisions. It would seem that, you know, you're either getting a very rapid growth in the loan portfolio, which implies a very a declining cost of risk, or else you're getting a very nice increase in your net interest margin because of the, you know, in spite of the rate cap impact. So I just wanted to sort of see if there was, you know, which side of that it was coming from more.
Well, this is because as you look at the title of this slide, those figures are after the rate cap impact included, because the Meritum calculated its original business plan for the next 2 years after monetary policy council decision. And if you look at the those two lines, you should bear in mind that Meritum enjoyed very high net interest margin. It's close to, before the rate cuts, close to 14%. If you adjust this margin and if you look at the NIM risk adjusted, it gives us around 7%. Comparing to what we have in Alior, is only 2.4%. So this big difference in terms of the profitability. And after the rate being cut, management of the Meritum Bank prepared some measures to keep the profitability at least for the new portfolio, plus this is the same what we are doing to improve the portfolio, existing portfolio, so just to limit the losses related to with a rate cap.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ivan Bokhmat of Barclays. Ivan, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the call. I have several questions, but firstly, may I please follow up on the previous one. So could you share what kind of assumptions for loan book growth would the Meritum have for their standalone projections?
I think the forecast of growth for the loan book are not really dramatic, and you can I think they are more or less in line with the growth of it's small double digits, let's put it this way. From the current 2.5 billion, the growth will be at the 10-15% per annum.
Okay, so basically the net interest income growth that is of around 20% for 2015, that just reflects the shift of fees into the NII, right?
Yes, exactly. That's why you see the very flat rate of fees and commission.
Okay.
And everything shifted to the first line.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand the answer on the provision impact. So why is the cost of risk so rather flat as well?
Okay. I think that if you, because it's used in the Polish, it uses the Polish accounting standards. If we switch this, and we will do, obviously, to international accounting standards, I think that the overall provision line will grow. That's why we are doing this 10-15% increase in this line, reducing the net income. So we cannot, we don't know enough to prepare Alior based forecast for Meritum Bank adjusted for international accounting standards, but we believe that the impact, Vita can explain more from the financial part, will hit the line that is called provisions here, and this line will be bigger by 10-15%.
Okay. Now, drilling a bit more into the rate cut impact, could you provide any color of how much of the Meritum's book was above the 12% level, before the rate cut, and what kind of impact would that have, and how does the distribution of interest rates look at the moment?
Before the rate cut, the 80% of Meritum loan book was about the 12%. The as Vitek explained earlier, the net interest margin that is enjoyed by Meritum minus the cost of risk are well above our current level in Alior. We have 4.7% net interest margin minus 2.3% cost of risk leads to 2.4% net margin for Alior. Net interest margin minus cost of risk. In Meritum, this difference currently is above 7%. So what they are doing, they are repricing the new portfolio to the lower level on which they have a good track record from 2008, and they are actively contacting all clients that are with performing loans to reduce the interest rate for them, give them more loans, top-ups, back to originals, all these offers, at the same time charging more fees for the clients related with the loan. which means that we believe that what they are doing is absolutely right. We see the same results in our portfolio, that it's relatively easy to reprice in a short period of time as much as 40% of the portfolio. This is the result that I enjoyed by both Alior on our effort and Meritum. So in also, I think the new production is immune in Meritum and in Alior is immune even to the further rate cuts to 10%. Can you
Because the exercise which we did with the Meritum management, we asked for the impact, and based on their estimation, the impact of the rate cut from the 16% to 12%, they estimated after all measures which have been already taken to reduce the net profit for the years 2014 up to 2016 by 40 million zloty. This is a cumulative impact.
And this is the main reason why we had to recalculate all the numbers and got the longer negotiations with the Meritum to have a reflection of this reduction in the new price. And that's why we are asking, because we hope that we provide you with this presentation at least 7-10 days earlier, so you had the time to vote at our tomorrow's General Assembly. It was a last-minute changes. We had very busy last 10 days after the rate cuts to adjust this numbers of rate cuts, and now that's why we'll be calling for the delay in this point.
Okay, that's very, very helpful. Thank you. And you mentioned that your new production is immune in a way to further rate cuts. Could you speak a little bit more about that? And similarly, if we were to expect a further cut in the rate cap, would the impact become progressively higher, would you think?
No, based on the examples that we had from 2008, from GE / Meritum time, we were provided with the data from them. If the impact on rate cut reduction works in two directions. First, it's obvious that the clients that are within that are overpriced, this has a negative impact on our income, but at the same time, more clients are suitable for lending, and because of the lower monthly service charges. So we will, like in Alior, our cell nowadays we are sending home 70% of the applicants. I think that we, and both us and Meritum, will be able to send home without loan in our bank, not 70, but let's say 65%. At the same time, our products now that are being offered both in Meritum and in Alior and in most of our competitors, they have lower margins, lower interest rates, and higher fees that are associated with issuance of the product, service of the product, and are paid by the client up front, but spread throughout the duration of the entire 4 years, which is the average duration of the loan.
Just on the first point you mentioned, would the reduction of the rate cap mean not that more clients be more eligible for lending, but rather than the entire market would shrink? Because I think before your approach would have been with superior risk systems, you'd be able to price the loans for those customers who would otherwise not get loans elsewhere, or they may get it at a much higher rate. And now, essentially, this kind of, I wouldn't say marginal, but higher risk segment would be cut off. Wouldn't you agree?
I think the higher risk segment were hidden in the 70% of the sent home clients already, and I think part of them were sent home because with our superior or not superior collection or credit assessment, simply the monthly service charges from loan divided by disposable income were too low, or rather, I'm sorry, too high. Now, with the lower interest rates environment, the same clients could qualify for higher loan volume, or we can accept slightly more of the clients that are currently being accepted by our bank. And I believe that the whole point in reducing of the interest rate by the government and by the National Bank of Poland was to foster the additional demand not only from the enterprises but also from domestic consumption.
If I may add one thing to that, Ivan, you're thinking of the marginal customers. With our capacity to add fees, we will still get to the same total revenue or even higher per customer, so that we still can have the same 30% acceptance ratio going forward.
Okay, thanks. That's very reassuring. I know I've taken a lot of time already. Maybe one last question, a technical one. When would you expect to consolidate Meritum into your reporting?
I would say 6 months after the regulatory approval. This is the politically correct answer to this question, and I hope this regulatory approval will be very fast. We are not the market leaders, neither us nor Meritum. We do not have any area of market that is, I think, questionable from anti-competitive law. And we informed the regulator about this transaction during our long discussion period with Meritum owners and management. So,
but you're speaking about legal consolidation or operational consolidation?
Well, I think for our modeling purposes, when will we get the numbers for two entities together?
So when will we legally be the owner of Meritum? That's the question, Vitek.
Well, as Wojtek said, all depends on the speed and timing on the our regulator side. But I'm crossing the fingers that we will have the positive decision and approval of our application, which have been already filed to KNF by the end of this year. So it will have the opportunity to start to consolidate the figures since January 1st next year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question is from Marcin Czabliński of Deutsche Bank. Marcin, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a question regarding your, because I'm a little bit confused. You've presented standalone Meritum figures, which look, you know, great, and then you presented synergies. Are synergies included in the standalone on page 5, or should we think this as on top of?
Not at all. The synergies from page 6 are on the top of what you see at the page 5.
How come the seller actually agreed to such a low price? I mean, this is PE of less than 3 on 2006, you know, net income. Even if we adjust to international standards, it seems like almost too good to be true. I mean, how what could explain the total valuation of the business that you're acquiring?
Mm.
The usual valuation.
If I'm allowed, I skip this question.
Because it's really too good to even look credible. To be honest, if we add synergies on your 2016, you know, net income, and we deduct it by 10-15%, so we go down from 130 to, let's say, 110, plus the synergies, we get something like 200 million accretion for Alior, and you're paying 350 million for it. That's great.
I think that, as usually in the transaction, there is a sell side and the buy side. And sometimes the I think that the question is
If I may, because let's say, Martin, if you look at the two components which you mentioned, so net profit and synergies from as Wojtek answered, we have to look at from the sellers and the buyers point of view. From the sellers, synergies don't exist.
But forget the synergies. Without synergies, it's a P of 3 on 2016 number.
Yeah.
It's incredibly inexpensive, I would say.
What I can say only is that, and I don't want to go into the shoes of the seller here because it's not mine. I think that sometimes there are situations where the seller would like to continue the business, but is not allowed to continue the business in the current structure. And I know what I'm talking about because Alior itself is in the same situation. Carlo Tassara, if they could keep Alior shares, they wouldn't go with the IPO, and then they wouldn't go with the sell. We are acting in a regulatory business, and let me kind of leave it this.
Okay, so maybe let's one last follow-up. I know that the previous guys had 15 follow-ups. Just one more follow-up. Do you, as Alior management, actually co-sign? Because you gave a source, Meritum Bank, for those standalone figures. Do you agree with those figures? I.e., do you, as Alior manager, could we hold you accountable for this slide 5 in the future if you are allowed and with regulatory approval if you buy the bank? Do you indeed expect the net profit to more than double in 2 years on the standalone basis, pre-synergies?
If we looked at the page 5, if you reduce these numbers by 10-15%, we believe that what is in front, what is presented to us, reduced by 10-15%, have all the chances to materialize. Even if we build our cushion and buffer not at 10-15%, but a little bit more, still I think that the level of return on investment and return on equity from this transaction, not looking at the synergies, but looking at both components, the synergies and the existing business, is very, very similar to the return on investment that we achieved from acquisition of HSBC portfolio. So to answer your story, with these corrections, plus, obviously, some buffer for uncertainties because the confirmatory due diligence will be performed. We, as a management, we feel very comfortable.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
The next question is from Kalim Aziz of Armajaro Asset Management. Kalim, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions regarding the regulatory change in terms of capping of the rate. So how do you manage this? Because I guess the pricing is one of the mechanisms through which you want to get rewarded for the risk that you take on a client basis. So how will you get through on the top-ups of these pricings? I mean, what is the maximum IRR that you think you're allowed to get out of your client given the new regulatory regime, and how does that affect your risk models and client underwriting models? That's my question.
I think the current regulatory regime is linked only with the level of interest rates associated with the loan, and this interest rate has to be capped at the 4x Lombard rate. There is no caps on the overall cost per client. There are cost of loan, including fees and commissions. In the parliament currently, there are two proposals being considered to cap not only at the interest rate, but on the total cost per client. And I think we are the greatest supporters of neither of these two proposals to be passed through, because it means that in Poland, if, for instance, the total annual lending cost will be capped at the maximum 60%, which is one of the proposals, then the non-bank lenders will have issues, and the banking business will not be affected at all. I don't know of any proposals currently being considered that would affect our total return from consumer lending. And what's more, I think if you look at the Polish banking market in general, there are less and less revenues from the direct transactional business because of the internet. There is less and less money to be made from deposits because of the rate cuts, and okay, there is some offset in clients migrating to investment products. I think we experienced that ourselves, that large Polish companies are very eager to reprice and renegotiate their loans using the rather European rates rather than Polish rates. So actually what is left to enjoy good margins and good returns that lead us into the overall return on equity at not at 15%, but after this this transaction, we believe that we can achieve at least 1 percentage point more higher return on equity by 2016, which is the consumer lending. And even if the Polish regulator caps the Polish loans, the total cost at the UK level, and use the UK scenario, I think Alior will be might be the net beneficiary of such a regime, because the clients that are currently using the different sources of intermediaries and parabanks will come back. I'm not saying that we'll accept them, but at least we will leverage our distribution network and reprice by higher fees, still within the caps that are being considered. Currently, there are no caps.
Second question, if I may, is what is the capital adequacy ratio, CET1, of the acquirer? Is it capital accretive or capital dilutive or capital neutral for you as Alior Bank?
It's about the regulatory minimum and Tier 1 at the level of 9%.
Okay. Third and final question from my side is with respect to the acquisition synergy cost of restructuring, etc. Would you be considering that as a part of acquisition cost, or would it go through the P&L as an operating cost once you consolidate?
Well, it will be shown as operating cost, and so we will not create any provisions just prior to the transaction. Will be recognized when they occur.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Pavel Kosub of UniCredit. Pavel, please go ahead.
Thank you. My questions were already answered, so I don't have any other questions.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have any further questions to ask on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. Our next question is from Aza Rakaka of Itemo Securities. Aza, please go ahead.
Yes, hello, it is Rokitska from Ipopema Securities. I have several questions, but I would like to ask them one by one. The first one is whether Innova Capital and WCP has a lock-up period for their shares that hopefully will be issued.
Well, there is no lock-up period.
And the time when those shares can be allocated to those investors?
Well, the timing is all depends, as we mentioned, on the process of approving our application.
Okay, so actually it should be in the short term after the approval from the KNF, right?
Yes, we have I believe that we will manage to do within 1 month.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you. And the second question I would have is the quality loan quality ratio at Meritim Bank. What is the NPL ratio over there and the coverage ratio?
Well, there's because we have a very similar business, so those ratios are more or less on the same level as we experienced. For the individual customer.
Mm-hmm. For non-collateralized lending, it's roughly the same to our business. They have they enjoy higher net interest margin, they charge clients more, they have slightly different costs of distribution because they need to pay more to intermediaries and agents. But all in all, the non-performing loans coverage ratios in non-collateralized businesses, around the coverage ratio is around 60%, as is the case with us.
Okay, and the NPL ratio is a double digit, something between 10 and 15, right?
Yes, but they charge, yes. I think it's now close to 10. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, and the final question, that might be a long one, but I'm looking like at the the P&L of the Meritim Bank on the standalone basis as you presented on the page 5 and on those synergies expected presented on the page 6 of your presentation. And the first question that I have is basically you are pointing out that the provisions or the cost of risk that will be probably in the future incurred in the P&L will be somehow 10-15% higher than those presented in the P&L of Meritim Bank. But on the other hand, on the page 6, you are presenting cost of risk reduction.
Mm-hmm.
So how those should work together? Basically, whether we should expect higher cost of risk than probably this around 600-650 as on the page 6, page 5, plus this 10-15% of your haircut, and then still incurring some cost of risk reduction?
I think this is exactly what you this is how we view this business. 171 plus 179 plus 209, all these times 1.1 or 1.15 to translate into the Polish into the international accounting standards, and then the cost risk reduction will be minus the cost risk reduction that is summarized on page 6, because we believe that we could use the Kraków collection.
Okay, and the second question is basically about the size of cost synergies. Because starting in 2016, you are hoping for 50 million of cost reduction, but on the other hand, the entire cost base of Meritim Bank is like 120, 130. So you want to cut out, like, I don't know, 40% of the cost base of the acquired assets when the assets are already operating at the cost to income of 30%. How is it possible?
I think that here the whole issue is not that we would like to cut the cost of Meritim. We will cut the cost across the organization in Alior and Meritim. And I think looking at the 25 plus 50 plus 50 scenario, I can assure you that this is very realistic. I don't want to mention, but the components like cost of marketing, cost of support functions at the headquarters, cost of licenses were thoroughly reviewed. we are really operating in the same segments. So there is a lot of cost overlaps, but I don't want you to have the impression that the cutting will come only from Meridiam. It's not true.
Okay, and just to make sure,
I'm sorry. You should look at our cost base plus Meridiam cost base together, and calculate the 25-50% from the combined. And here I can assure you, this is the numbers that we took into consideration and presented to you are on the conservative side of the mergers of the cost related synergies, because we would like to keep the IT services in Gdańsk.
Okay, and just to make sure, those expected cost synergies do not multiply anyhow those cost savings that you announced recently coming from the restructuring call.
Not at all. The cost savings that we announced were coming from the synergies from restructuring. I think that this program is already well advanced, and I hope for smooth regulatory acceptance. But I believe that this program will be over before we start with Meridiam.
Okay, and the final question is basically on this net fee and the commission income presented or the forecast presented on the page 5. It's true that here it looks flattish over the years 2014-2016, but looking at the historical numbers of Meridiam Bank, actually those numbers seems to be very high, given that in the 2013 the bank had only 4 million of net fees, and this year after 8 months it had 6 million of net fees. From where this growth of fee income will come if the majority of the lending fees will be recognized in the net interest income?
For instance, they sign. They expect to have so-called profit sharing from the insurance products which have been sold.
I think that this is 90% of the 2014 numbers are already verified, and I think what is also worth considering is that Meridiam only nowadays started the full-scale cooperation with Tesco. They started to improved dramatically the offer on the current accounts for the clients on the internet. I think they were recognized as even the leaders in mobile banking. So I think when we looked at the level of the net fees and commission that are currently in their forecast, this 26 million, which translates into something like 2 million per month, it looks very, very realistic.
Okay, but and does this product with the Tesco has any time frame, or it's going to be like forever?
I think that obviously any cooperation agreement has some timing. In our calculations, we looked also that this is not the product and the cooperation forever. We couldn't see the details of Tesco agreement. We see only the current performance, and we know that this is not the short-term cooperation agreement that they signed with Tesco. So to tell you the truth, we haven't seen provisions for closure of this cooperation, how much it's going to cost and so on, but we were assured that this, and we believe, looking at the cooperations and talking to the people in the market, that we can do much more in cooperation with Tesco than was currently enjoyed by Meridiam, and we can leverage our experience being white-label distributor for T-Mobile, and leverage this experience into the Tesco stores.
Okay, so thank you very much. It seems that's all from my answers. Thank you.
And our next question is from Daniel Cohen of Morgan Stanley. Daniel, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just a couple of hopefully straightforward questions. One is the equity number that you've given for the first half. Does that include, or is that a tangible book value number, or is that just headline shareholders' equity? Perhaps you could answer that first.
This is total equity, which is shown in the Meritum's book.
Does Meritum have any substantial intangible assets?
No. If you look at we are talking about. Even if you want to write off all of them, the impact will not be significant. But as we mentioned, we treat especially IT side of the Meritum as a very tempting target for us.
Okay.
But I think it's not the intangible is not substantial at all.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And just the last question is just briefly, what roughly is the are the risk-weighted assets for Meritum that you potentially be consolidating?
2.5 billion.
Okay, super. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And our next question is from Martha Wasiluska of Wood & Company. Martha, please go ahead.
Hello. In fact, the questions that I had have been answered already, but if I can have a small follow-up on the NPL ratios, because we have access to the Polish financial report of Meritum Bank there on their websites, and when we analyze sort of asset quality defined in their financial notes for the first half of 2014, sort of the Polish accounting standards NPL level looks oddly small enumerated in this financial statement. Could you elaborate more how Meritum have been dealing with their NPLs portfolios so far, and why is it so low on their books? And could you just explain? Yeah, that's all. That's all I wanted to learn. Maybe the IAS translation will make it a lot different. I don't understand. I would like to clarify that.
Okay. Our understanding is that they are, because of their size, it's more profitable for them to sell non-performing portfolio than to do the collection themselves. And that's why we believe that using our collection machine would lead into the immediate synergies. I believe they are selling.
Just to be precise, they already performed one transaction in the second half of this year, and they are about to conclude the next one. So impact from their side will be significant, and their policy is to keep the NPL ratio at the current level, and because of business reasons, they don't have their own collection team. They don't perform the collection work as we did. They are just at the certain stage. They are selling the portfolio to outsourcers.
Okay. So in the end, it's very hard to define what the new NPL production. We need to track the cost of risk evolution. That also is relatively high, in the excess of 6% in the first half of the year. So,
Frankly speaking, I didn't get your point. So, if you could, explain.
Yeah, the problem is that we have a problem with actually capturing the historical performance of their NPL portfolio and how it was evolving, given that the large number of sales. So, maybe if I could ask you to provide us in the future a little bit more color on their NPL portfolio evolution, because cost of risk that they book in their P&Ls is not correspondent to their NPL portfolio evolution because of this significant sales. So it's hard for us to assess how they dealt in the past with the NPL portfolio and how it was created, what sort of a natural delinquency in the portfolio.
So it's evident, hi, here's Mel, it's evident that with that business model they have a very low NPL and will continue having a low NPL if this is the way, both to release capital and release, get further liquidity for further growth. So we do not have the same element of constraint, not that we like to build up NPLs, but we are very efficient in getting the collection, and we believe that we'll get better economics out of running this collection in our own book instead of selling it off and giving the collection spread benefit to the outsourcer. So, yes, in the future, we will give you more flavor on how much of the new NPL production is coming from their books. At a certain stage, it will be mixed, but in the first few quarters, for sure, we can give you such flavor.
Thank you.
And we have a follow-up question from Ivan Bokhmat of Barclays. Ivan, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much. My question was answered.
And we have another follow-up question from Martin Jawolinski of Deutsche Bank. Martin, please go ahead.
Yeah, just one question. Could you maybe clarify? At the initial part of the call, we spent just digesting NII versus fees. If we look all together at your net interest income plus net fees for Meritum, what should explain the growth in margin if we just take 2014 and the total revenue of 346 and then compare it to 216? I think the CEO mentioned that the loan growth itself would be low teens. So what would explain total margin going up?
Well, because of the rate cuts and the all measures which they already launched, they would not be able to recover all of them in the last quarter. So, however, it will the effect will come in 2015. This is why between 2015 and let's say 2014, this acceleration.
And also,
that assumes that most clients will take back to original or top up.
Yes. They we ask those questions and we grill them, and they proved that they already managed in 2000. Even they launched the pilot just to be prepared in the first half of this year, and it turned out that. More than 35% of the customer accept the new conditions.
And I think this is very much in line also with our own project. Obviously, we started already calling clients and to switch from interest to fees, and the number 35% that is based for Meritum calculation is not it's on the conservative side from what we are experiencing calling our own clients.
And can I just ask a very naive question? If those guys are selling their NPLs very quickly, that actually means that their cost of risk is real. I mean, it's not window dressed, so to speak. So why would
I think that there are the size of the bank. It's that we experience that also when you are small. Building the entire own collection machine is not profitable.
I understand. My question is different. Why would their provision line be different in Polish accounting versus international accounting if they are quickly selling their NPL?
No, it would not be too big. It will be some timing element, but not too big.
Mm-hmm.
On the provisioning only. On NPL, there might be because you have to, on the international, you have to build a forecast model and do IBNRs based on that. And that is also the difference in the P&L.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid our time is up. However, thank you very much for attending the call. And in case you have any following questions, feel free to contact an IR team. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you very much. And I hope that all the our presentation answers your question. And hope to see you at our General Assembly.